A65. Number 6A.
Well, we can go on and perhaps have a next category. Just a little bit of an illustration without taking it too seriously. Namely, what is actually, or what are actually those levels of science trying to accomplish? See, the main aspect, the main reason, the main purpose of a science is always to reduce the one infinite of a subject, the infinite subject, to fundamental categories. And if we consider now through the levels how many categories or subcategories are involved by reducing the infinite one to, or translating more or less to translating the infinite one to that basis which will then cover everything, we can ask ourselves in a numerological way, without getting into numerology. Well, that was a difficult one. Numerology. I got it. All right. See, I don't seem to be acquainted with numerology. I mean, in spite of Boston accuses us that we teach numerology. Yeah. But it's always interesting to see that naturally spiritual facts can symbolize through numbers. And so we can see that if we start out from the level of science itself, we only really have a one, the infinite one. So in the next category we are considering with how many, number-wise, we are dealing with. And that will show us something quite interesting. So, in the next category on the top, science itself, we say, well, we can put how many categories are involved. We would see one, just principle itself. Not more than that. Principle is its own infinite principle. So we have a one there. Now, when we translate that infinite one to the level of divine science, how many categories do we get there, number-wise?
Two.
Two.
Two categories.
Two categories. Uh-huh.
Three.
Three. What are they?
Life, truth, and love.
Uh-huh. Yeah? Or would you say something else? Do you know something about the chart?
Yeah, four categories.
Four.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to introduce the one translated to the four. You have to take the infinite one, and as you said, on the level of divine science, you have the operational sense. So you introduce that infinite one really operating as the four. The Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. So you get four categories in the next one. When you come to Absolute Christian Science, how many categories do you need there? Can you get along with just four? Or with how many? Now that's a bit of a difficult question. How many do you need there?
Well, you're dealing with life, truth, and love.
Yes.
That's
three.
But
In the four. So what is that?
So that's seven.
That's seven.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's ten going all the way across. Life, truth, and love.
Oh, okay. Okay.
How many do we get there?
Ten.
Yeah.
A lot of 12.
Yeah.
Well, if you're counting each one separately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yet, we would say no. Would say how many?
Ten.
Still dealing with just four categories.
Four categories, yes. But you cannot use them without the three. Without the three. So you get 12, huh?
Okay.
All those four have to deal with the three, life, truth, and love. Though, as you said, I can now understand why you arrived at 10. Though naturally, we'll see that in Christianity and science, there is a zero number, huh? Because one is left out, but purposefully. So it's actually the 12. It is actually that big number, huh, that is predominant in the Bible. There are always the 12 tribes of Israel. There were the 12 apostles. Everything had to be 12 because 12 was standing always as a symbol for what? For demonstration, huh? For absolute demonstration, for demonstration of spiritual values. The 12 tribes were standing for the demonstration of spiritual values, so the disciples. The 12 was always a symbol of demonstrating spiritual ideas, spiritual values. And naturally, absolute Christian science is that level which demonstrates spiritual values, we said, which demonstrates specific spiritual ideas. And so you arrive there at the 12 categories that we have to introduce. When we come to Christian science,
seven synonymous terms.
With seven?
Seven.
About
28. You can't do it with seven, huh?
Except 49.
Because you have four orders, huh? You have four orders. Therefore, you have to use the seven in four different, fundamental different ways. That's 28, huh? Gives you the 28. Can you see now, if you just look at this category, that you get really the pyramid. You get the wonderful pyramid where you go out from a central point, from the top of the pyramid, and that's why the pyramid was always a terrific symbol, really, for science, because it shows that you are deducing from the infinite one, and by deducing from the infinite one, deducing more and more and further, you get always a broader basis. You cover a broader field. So that the more you go down from the pyramid and the further you translate it, the more you cover the whole ground. And so just in a numerical symbolism, it shows you what these levels really want to do. That on the level of science itself, the laws are very simple. You just have that one law, that being is its own infinite being. And no other law. The moment you come to the level of divine science, you already have four different factors in the law, namely that being operates first out of itself, second through itself, third as itself, fourth for itself, and you have a much broader sense of being. If we go further down, we enlarge that law even further, and begin to see that each of the four sides of the holy city operates through the three synonymous term, and we get there four different laws operating as life, truth, and love. And further down, we cover still, yeah, and through that law, we begin to calculate all the ideas. Huh? On the level of absolute Christian science, we begin to calculate all right values. We don't need really more than life, truth, and love operating, life, truth, and love, the three, operating as a four. And with that, we cover actually the demonstration of all spiritual values. There are no other spiritual values than those. But if you go further to the level of Christian Science, you have to have new laws. Those new laws that say, how do these spiritual values resolve the opposite concept, the opposite, the counterfeit sense of it? And so we get there, really, all the seven synonymous terms, which are basic to Christian Science, and they operate as a word, as the law of creativity, they operate as the Christ, as the law of translation, they operate really as Christianity, as the law of reflection, they operate then in science as the law of understanding, or of structural understanding. And in that way they begin to analyze, uncover and annihilate evil. So in this way you can see again that if we understand those three categories, if we understand the seven, the four and the four, we really cover everything in being. So that makes up all in being. At this very moment reminds me that we didn't finish properly before we had a break with that last column of the integral whole. We did run through it very quickly, and perhaps just as I have now pointed out this further category, I think we will understand really now better what we were considering in that category, which we had of the integral whole. Do you know where we are in our chart? And there we said, science is that, or I can start the other way around. I can say, the central theme in all religion is actually the infinite one. No matter if we are interested in the Eastern religion or in Islam, or if you are interested in Christianity or what, it's always centering around the very fact there is an infinite one. Whatever the higher religions are, they all are centering around that great sense that there is an infinite one and that there is only one being. So the statement that there is only one being is not unique to Christian Science. That's practically the common denominator of all higher religions. Now the point is that which distinguishes Christian Science from all the other religion is that Christian Science tries to explain that infinite one through a science and not through any other mean, whatever the other mean is. Like mysticism, like rituals, or whatever it is, that therefore, when we consider this category, we go out from a common denominator, which is common with the other religions. But the moment we translate it, we differ from all the other religions. Because we have seen that integral whole, as a one whole, is actually not just one amorphous whole, a structureless, undefinable whole, like it is for the Eastern, or for most of the Eastern religion. But that which really characterizes now Christian Science is that we put into that whole a very structural whole. That whole is structured. Therefore, we need a system. For a structure, we need a system. And so what Mrs. Eddy did is to reduce science itself to a divine system, to divine metaphysics. And therefore we had in divine science that integral whole translates itself as a whole system, which is called in ordinary sciences, is called a closed system. A closed system means what? It means that it is a system, that's now typical for divine science, that it is a system wherein everything is included. We said divine science is that which includes all. Everything is included. There is nothing outside. There is nothing foreign to the system. So it is a closed system where everything fits together in one coherent whole. If we translate that system further down to absolute Christian science, and we ask ourselves, now, what is that when it translates it to the level of absolute Christian science, which has to do with the relation to specific ideas, therefore not to all in one, but to specific idea, we really come to what is called an open system. An open system, which says what? Which says, this system is so that it can restructure itself constantly. That according to the situation, according to the subject under consideration, which is always a different one, which is always another one, which never repeats itself, it's still a system that can resolve the problem, but it always resolves it in a different way. And so that is called an open system. An open system. Then, when we ask ourselves, how does an open system translate itself to the level of Christian science? That is, how does it translate itself to that consciousness which does not know the system, or which does not know the infinite one through a system? See, that's what Christian science must resolve. That counter, that counterfeit, huh? Namely, not knowing what the whole is. Mrs. Eddy introduces and says, you can only begin to know the system by an ordered way of understanding, by a linear way of understanding. You have to start somewhere, and have start somewhere right, and lead thought in an ordered way until you touch the system. Now these are the orders of being. And you can, you know that very well, though you look at me in a very curious way, you know, how did you learn the system? You learn the system, and it unfolded that way in our time, that one began to see there is an order in being. The days of creation. You begin with let there be light. And that light begins to unfold. That light becomes definite. And that definite light starts to rule and govern everything. And that light lifts us out of the old sense, of the mortal sense, of the wrong sense, life. And that gives us a sense of dominion in truth. And that gives us a sense, I am on the right track, I am on the right, I'm following the right plan, I think I get it. Huh? That's the word order. You see, we did not approach the whole of being through a system, but first through orders. Then came the Christ order, then came the Christianity order, and when we had that, somehow the science order was that bridge which, so to say, changed order into system. Because, as you know, that we have done last year, when you come to the science order, that order is what we call science order, is both. It's an order and a system. It's an order and a structure. Because the candlestick gives already a sense of a structure. So at that point, one began to see that there is a system. Yeah? Is it too hot in here? I see some eyes shutting nicely and struggling a little bit. Yes. And yet it's the most beautiful subject, you know. Because if you think, I don't know if you think that way sometimes, but I like to think that way sometimes. I just sit down and lean back and say, golly, there we have a mankind that has been struggling for thousands and thousands of years. Struggling. For what? How to get dominion. How to get out of the mess. And they were struggling to get out of the mess through religions. One religion, another religion, another religion, another religion, another religion, never getting there. Never finding the solution. And then to think that after those tens of thousands of years, after billions of people have struggled, after billions of people have put up a wonderful inward and outward fight to get the truth and have not found it because they didn't know the method. And to think that we are living in an age where a few people of us can see at least the way. Science as the way. This really should make us happy, grateful, and feel that the grace of God is at work. I don't think that there is anything more beautiful to think about than what happens in this age. To think that instead of struggling as all the other religions to get hold of that integral whole, either through sacrifice, through rituals, through self-sacrifice, through asceticism, through praying, through going into a nunnery or anywhere, whatever they do and whatever they tried, they did not find the day of rest. And here we are, and the way is paved out, is shown very clearly, which says, look here, the way to the integral whole starts with order. Order leads to system, to an open system. With that open system you can tackle any problem you like. And it is a closed system because everything is included in it. There is nothing outside of it. And that is the true sense of an integral whole. That's what these exercises want to bring out. Yes. Okay. I wanted to make a naughty remark, but I leave it.
No.
You see how naughty you are. Huh? You like something naughty, huh? Like I do. You don't want to let it pass. Oh. All right, you know, there is a man in the movement who wrote 3 volumes on Mrs. Eddy and said that we have a false concept of science because we teach Christian Science as a closed system, whereas it is an open system. He doesn't know the first thing what we teach because we teach both. We teach Christian Science as a closed system on the level of divine science, and we teach Christian Science on the level of an open system, very open system, on the level of absolute Christian Science. And we even teach Christian Science as having order on the level of Christian Science. It only shows the ignorance of those who try to be our judge. They don't even know what we teach. Okay. Let's be nice and kind again. Now we take page 2. And on page 2 you see the layout is a little bit different. It leaves the top line open. And so it is, we are going to make a few exercises on the following problems. Now I'm going to state the problem, and then we see how that problem presents itself through the four levels. So the very first column we could take and write on the top, on the empty box there, we could write, dealing with a problem. Dealing with a problem, or how to deal with a problem. Now, dealing with a problem is perhaps better, yes. Now, so again I want to show that what we do is something very practical for everyday life experience. Say you are facing any kind of a problem, no matter if it's a negative or a positive problem. Now the question is, what do you handle, and what is and how do you handle the problem from the level of science itself? Fundamentally, naturally, not giving me a treatment of half an hour, but fundamentally.
It doesn't recognize the problem.
It doesn't recognize the problem. Huh? That's the very first thing, that we feel our conscious, and we can put there, knows no problem, or doesn't recognize the problem, knows no problem. Huh? Yes. Does it know no negative problem, or does it know no negative nor positive problem?
Neither.
Just does know any problem. And you can easily see that from a standpoint of science itself, there is no problem. Such thing is absolutely unknown. So there is no problem to handle, and you don't handle a problem from that point.